If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
Sending out good vibes. Good vibes. Good vibes. Good vibes. Good vibes.
108 breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grimerica Show. Coming at you this week with Ashton Forbes. A lot of people have been looking forward to this one. It's a good one. Of course, we got everybody's favorite podcaster, Graham, the painter Dunlop. You're back to painting this week.
Back to painting this week a little bit, yeah. Yeah, just some manual labor, you know, to keep things fresh. I guess I could call it that. And you sound different because you are out of town
on the road again.
Hopefully the Wi-Fi stays okay right now. We're going to still do the shows this week, so that's good.
The Starlink is better than the hotel Wi-Fi in the city.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's that might have just been a blurb, but seems all right.
Yeah, it seems all right now, yeah. So I got my walls insulated. My office is just about done. I just got to drywall the outside of the walls. And this is good, man. I can't even hear things. I can't even hear what's going on outside of my office. So it's great.
Didn't someone just message us from Kelowna?
I don't know.
Or was that just me? So I thought there was something about an email or something from Kelowna recently.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, did you see that dude on the bridge with the bomb this morning in Kelowna?
No, I didn't see that.
He barricaded himself on the bridge with a van full of TNT and said if anyone came near it, he was going to send him to God.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, right?
Why? About what? What was his deal?
His deal was, I don't know. That's what I was hoping you might have heard about it. Cause I haven't really digged into it that much. I haven't dug into it that much. Apparently someone I seen on Twitter, I tweeted him back and he said that it looked like the situation was cleared up without incident, but
that's good.
There was definitely an incident.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so, yeah, I'm on the road working because we don't have enough supporters. So, a lot lizarding it up. My lot lizard tour.
Yeah. This is a great ep with Ash. We talk about the UFO disclosure a little bit and free energy. And I mean, it's really, you know, it's good that we finally had him on because I know he's, you know, he's got so many invites and so many different podcasts, but I think ours was pretty original and I think he had a good time. And I knew after I met him at Cosmic Summit, I was like, this guy's done. He was like, I'm not going to do any more podcasts for a while. And then I was like, so I wasn't going to ask him, even though we did talk about him coming on. And then I thought, you know what? There's so much going on right now. He probably would want to do a show. So,
and you then it was to
right,
have
after,
fun.
Right after the egg video. So it was perfect timing.
He seemed to have fun.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand the egg video. I missed that one or I haven't seen anything about it. That's a weird thing. I feel like
I know it really just disappeared into the ether. It really did. Even afterwards, I haven't seen anything like that night. It was, so it's already been a week and a bit ago, I think.
Does that make it more real? You're not talking about it.
Yeah. That's interesting. Maybe. Interesting way to look at it.
I wonder. I don't know. Like I say, I haven't seen it. So
but more stuff has come out since then. Like Greer has come out and said, like, the aliens, the aliens are starting to get pissed off at the government for their messing around with things, and they're going to retaliate. Like, he's starting to come up with a weird thing too, with a weird narrative.
They don't like Trump.
And there's some fighting, and there's some fighting in the, and then, oh, Grant Cameron saying like Trump is supposed to just, you know, come up with his report on the drones, and it's late, and Lou Elizondo. So there's drama, lots of drama with Trump and the UFO community right now, I think, but I don't know what's going to happen with it. It's just interesting. But that is one of the promises that Trump still hasn't come through with yet.
Is the UFOs?
Yeah, the UAP report, or the drone report, I guess.
So did the driver kill?
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Kill JFK?
I don't know anything about it.
It sure looks.
Yeah. I've never really been interested in that. For some reason, I don't follow it a lot, even that when the new stuff comes out. Just
what? You don't care who shot JFK?
Well, I care. I just don't like it. You know, it's one of those ones that's just too hard to get fully up to speed on if you haven't been interested in it since the beginning, you know?
Yeah, but you could still, I don't have to be up to speed on it. I just, you know, if they know who killed him, I'd like to hear.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think all the stuff about what's his name we already knew.
Yeah.
The, like, Martin MLK was a woman beater or something, right?
Oh, I didn't know about that.
But you never know if that's true or if that's just the CIA making that shit up.
Yeah, and there's lots of stuff going on in Canadian politics. I mean, oh my God, we're going to get into it tomorrow. Or no, would it be tomorrow? No, what day is it? No, Wednesday, I think. Wednesday will be our roundup. So it'll be January 29th, I guess.
Tomorrow will also be some Canadian content, though.
Yes,
it will. Another channel, because we're having Marty up north on.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
I'm just lining up my stuff for the next segment, if you're wondering.
Yeah, I was wondering that. I don't have too many emails to read or anything like that from people.
We do have a couple supporters, but we might as well give that a few minutes before we get into that. What else is there to get to? CBDs?
That's a good point. Yeah. GrimericaCBD.com, exploring the mysteries of the CBD universe. Yep.
People should be checking that out. Telling their friends to check that out. Also, grimerica.ca/shrooms also works as a link in the show notes. If people want to do that, that's all ways to help the show. The audiobooks, adultbrain.ca. So we might as well just go. I mean, we need people to support the show. This is what it comes down to, you know. grimerica.ca/support. If you can, when you can, sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation, because, you know, it's supposed to be a value for value show. So I don't know if it's just not as valuable as it used to be, but it seems like everything's starting to grow again. I don't know if the grip of censorship is still coming off. I don't know if we've talked about it on this show yet, but we were given our Twitter back again. We probably haven't talked about
it. We haven't talked about it on this show yet. Yeah.
Because the day after Trump signed the executive order about free speech online.
Coincidentally.
The next day I emailed and asked for and mentioned that. I actually asked my AI to come up with another appeal, and I wanted it to reference Trump's new executive order, which is the one thing ChatGPT can do that the other one can't, because the other one doesn't have anything for the last like 9 months or something like that.
Well, it's one of those things. You're talking about the deep sneak, yeah.
Yeah. So, it spun it up. I sent it in, and I got the same message I got before. But the last time, there was these caveats that made me delete some stuff and then kicked us off again 4 days later. This time, it didn't do that. So this time, it didn't. There was no caveats. It just said that it made a mistake and they were sorry. You could have the account back. There is still some slight glitchiness where every once in a while when I log in, it'll tell me I'm suspended, but I'm not. I'm able to go in and do all sorts of stuff.
I was able to verify this time, which I think is what killed it last time. When I tried to get my check mark back, they torched it.
Yeah.
Oh, look at it. I can link that directly to Patreon now. Oh, it already does. It links right to our Patreon. Look at that.
That's great.
Yeah, and to our, I better double check them Bitcoin addresses, because I can almost guarantee that those go to fucking Never Never Land at this point. That was a few Bitcoin addresses ago.
We're not doing good.
I mean, what it is they finally just came out with a solid app that you could be on and be on all the time. And I don't even know if that's the best app. I'm sure the people that are actually into crypto would tell me I'm a fucking idiot for using it, but it'll like, I can remember my password and use my this, and I can transfer it from one device to the other. I mean, we might still have like a quarter Bitcoin on one of my old laptops.
Oh, can we figure that out? Or
I gave it to the dude with cancer.
The Bitcoin guy with cancer? Well, where would we get the quarter of the Bitcoin from? I mean, in your hard drive somewhere?
Substantial amount of money now.
Is there somebody that is in business to do that, to take old computers and just scour them for Bitcoins? I mean, that would be a good business model.
You know what? I haven't really thought about it until we just got going now, but that was the account that at one time we had several Bitcoin on.
Oh my God.
And like we were spending it and using it and we had lost some. But on that computer, it could have been $15 at the time. That could be substantially more now, because there could have been like $10 or $15 left that just got left in there.
Right. Yeah.
But that was when Bitcoin was at 200. So what's that going on?
Remember that?
Like 60X. So it's still only like, probably not more than like $1,000. I don't think, that being said, a quarter of a Bitcoin would only be $50.
Yeah.
That math is wrong. Anyway. I did that math wrong.
$50.
It's gone up fucking 500X, not 50.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's gone up 500X, man. Because 200 times 50 is only 100,000.
Yeah.
No. Wait, that's what it's at though, right? No, 200 times 50 is what?
10,000?
That's right. No. Yeah, 200 times 50 is only 10,000. So it's gone up like 600X. So if we had $15 in there times 600, it'd be 9,000.
Yeah.
And if we had $50 in there, it would be obviously,
three times that.
In U.S., I will send out some emails and see
people. Yeah, I shipped them the thing. They look in there.
I gave it to my ex's cousin.
Your computer?
Lung cancer. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant you sent the Bitcoin to the guy with lung.
No. Oh. It would be like just on that computer fucking app.
Can you cat burgle that old laptop back and then just
I would just say, hey man, check if there's any.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bitcoin on there. I mean, it's probably in the garbage by now. That's the thing,
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the computer that we started the show with, basically, when it was already, I think it was like a 2007 MacBook Air. So at this point, it would be coming up on 20 years old.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
But, yeah, I mean, it's worth firing out I'll see if I can get his email. I swear I had it, because we were talking about something not long ago, so.
But yeah, CBD, we got like Serenova, that's a tincture, Stone Spirit gummies, Dream Beam gummies, Illumin is another tincture, Brighten Your Day the Natural Way, Solaris, Let Your Day Begin, Calm A or Calm A is calm in a bottle, all kinds of good stuff there. And Darren revised the swag store. I mean, check out the swag.
Oh yeah, buy some.
Yeah, like revivify that. Yeah, back to basics. So there's some good stuff in there. That's grahamerica.ca/swag. I'm just going to type it in and see if that works. Not to put you on the spot or anything, but whoops, I put slag instead of swag.
That's different.
Because you got the take the shot Sasquatch stuff. Oh, there it pops up right away. Nice. Nice job. You got the take the shot. You got the save Sasquatch. You got Grimerica Outlawed. Some alternative designs to the Grime America Show, contact the Cabot, Unvaxxed Lives Matter. Oh, you got a little blow up of the UFO. You got Grab Them by the Regina. That's one of my new designs. Adult Brain.
Yeah, and we make, I don't know what people bought, but so far we've made $4. So that's off four sales. I don't know I think we make $1 a sale, basically. Really? We're paying a lot of money, but we don't have to do anything. So,
well, now we don't. You still have to put them on.
I don't know what they bought. They might have bought stickers, and there's a sale on right now, but it doesn't give you the option. Like, I didn't put the sale on. T Public put the sale on.
Right.
And it doesn't give you the option. So every other place I've built a store so far that we've left for various reasons.
Usually not of our own accord.
But unless there's a way to set the prices that I didn't see any place to change the price on anything.
And that's okay for now. I mean, whatever they think.
Yeah, I don't care. Which, you know, it's more about advertising than anything else. So we want you guys to grab some stickers, grab some magnets. There's some hats now. You can get a couple of those designs in hats. Get Grimerica hat. We had a lot of people asking about that before. And yeah, so check that out. And it's cheap. I think the T-shirt is on for $21 right now.
Yeah.
Make sure you get the tricolor.
Right, yeah.
You'll be disappointed.
I mean, that's the one. Yeah.
The basic tees are always shit. Go with the tricolor. It's softer. Yeah. The shit's not going to show up on it right away. It's just an all-around better shirt. It's only $3 or $4 extra dollars. You'll be happy you did. So anyway, support the show. That's more important. GrimAmerica.ca/support. Send a monthly donation. Sign up for that. Sign up for a one-time donation. You can send a one-time. Sign up for monthly. You can even... We had some people go to our Patreon this week and sign up for a yearly.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. So an annual subscription, which we will go to now. I got all my ducks in a row here. So I got them all lined up. Did I tell you? So we were talking about this earlier, but I'm not going to say what the meme. We'll talk about it on Outlawed this week on our roundup in the extension. But I tried to make a meme on my phone, and my phone would not let me make it. It would not let me add certain text to pictures. It would act like it was doing it, and then when I saved it, the word wouldn't show up. So there's a banned word in my photos, I think. We'll see. I'm going to get you to try it on the roundup and see if it lets you.
I don't want to try it. I don't want to have my phone against me. My phone thinks I'm a nice guy right now. I'm not going to change it. Really, I'm going to get my phone to cancel me. What?
Your phone sees your Twitter account. Your phone knows you better than I do. It probably knows shit I don't even know. It knows you're a fucking creep.
Nipple clamp. Probably got some old nakeds in there somewhere.
Some old Dunlop nudes. So thanks. I mean, we do want to say thank you. We did have a bunch of people come up. This has been our biggest month in a long time.
Oh, and it's a huge help for the bills.
One-time donations. And like I said, January is a hit. Our member press comes due. That's $600 right there. So it's almost like there's almost $800 in the one-time bills in January that are always a hit because we live paycheck to paycheck in Grimerica because we don't have enough supporters, which, you know, I've bored you with enough already. But, you know, we had enough people come through with one-time donations to cover all of our one-time or all of our annual bills, so none of it had to come out of our payroll this year, which is the first time in years. So we have some people to thank. Oh, shit. Peter Stronach, $150. Thank you, Peter. Wow, thanks, we appreciate Peter. It. One-time donation. And then we have from Soil and Scribe sent us $50.
Nice. And these will all be nobles, right?
These are all nobles, yeah. I mean, unless you've hit that $1,000 Canadian mark, let us know, and you might be a lord or a lady today. We still don't have a god. You got to get 10K to get that. But we have a couple people trending in that direction. Notably, Ward Mike and Ward Corey.
Yeah, here, I'll give you his Lord of the Here.
And he's also the ward of Alberta because he would have taken over Paul's wardship of Alberta. So anyway, next on the list, we go to Alex Griffin. I think he's in the UK, right? Our buddy Alex Griffin. I think he's actually coming on the trip.
She maybe. I think I get mixed up. There was two Alex on our last trip, but I got them mixed up all the time.
I believe Alex is from the UK.
Then it's the she. The other Alex, oh. I think, is the he from the States.
Anyway. Or
from Australia. No, I don't know. Now I'm getting mixed up.
Whichever one it is.
Thank you.
216 pounds a year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a decent contribution. So that's halfway. That's almost that's a third of the way to lordship right there. And then we have Joseph Police. It's a hell of a last name. Sorry about your luck, unless you're a police officer, in which case, sorry about the joke. This is where I got it. He's from Kelowna. I doxed him. Sorry for doxing you. That's where the bridge bomb was. Hopefully it didn't affect your commute. 11 a month, so thank you very much. And all that to say, yeah, the bills. I was dreading the bills, but you guys came through in spades. Let's just keep coming through in spades, though, week after week. And then, I won't have to be in a hotel room across the country recording the podcast on my laptop.
Yeah.
But I digress. Thank you very much, guys. That is the moral of the story. We appreciate you. Also, you can check out Grey America Outlawed. Sign up over there. That helps support the show. Adultbrain.ca with the audiobooks. You can get our audiobooks on Spotify or Audible or the podcast or the YouTube. However you do that helps us out in some way, shape, or form. You can also buy them through the Adult Brain store on the Adult Brain website directly from us, either as audiobooks, paperbacks, or ebooks, whichever you like. It's a paperback, and we will ship it to you, even if you're in the UK. So that is only an option for right now, UK, Canada, and USA, but it looks like Australia has a printer there as well, so it looks like we can open it up to Australia soon. So, yeah, the publishing company's growing there. If you guys like books, check them out. All the paperbacks aren't in the store yet. It's just a lot of work and linking and publishing and all that sort of stuff, but there's several dozen in there and growing, so you guys can check that out and contact at the cabin for the trip. There's only one spot left for Azores. So I'm still trying to see if work with some venues to see if we can squeeze in some more people, but I can't make any promises.
No, it's pretty tight already.
Pretty tight already. So if there's one spot left, if you want to get that, let me know. Contact at thecabin.com. There is still about 15 spots left for the one in May in Bonneville. If you want to come in, it's a lot cheaper too. So check all that out. Contact at thecabin.com. I think that's it. Anything else?
Right on. No, I think that's all the
commercial stuff. Anyway, should we just get out of here?
Yeah. Let's do it. We got a podcast all week still, and you're away. So
absolutely.
Just one a little short. So Ashton Forbes. So for those of you that have been following the MH371, we don't spend too much time on it. In here, we do touch on it. He gives us an update, but this is a new.
It's a good update. I thought it was a quite good update.
It's a great update, but yeah, it's not. This isn't overdoing the whole mystery. So if you're following
just
it,
just enough.
Exactly. And I'm sure if you are interested afterwards, you can go back in and find all his other work. He's got a YouTube channel there. His X account is at just X Ashton, investigator, physics, engineering. But we get into all kinds of other stuff, which is great. So sort of current event energy stuff, free energy type stuff. It's an awesome awesome chat with him. And then his YouTube is at just X Ashton. So yeah, that's it. Check out his stuff and enjoy the chat, eh?
Yeah, I mean, while you're on YouTube, check out our new YouTube, the A-List. Give it a subscribe. It helps out. We're trying to grow that one. And our other YouTube seems to have for the first time in a decade, we won an appeal on YouTube.
Yeah, we won an appeal. Yeah, we won. And they took a strike off. They took a strike off. So, I mean, things are trending in the right direction. And our YouTube channel's growing. Our Adult Brain YouTube channel's growing a little bit. This one is the A-List, as in E-H, like Canadian A. So it's the A-List.
And that's our Canadian propaganda.
Yeah.
So check that out. Tell your friends if they're Canadian, and yeah, keep spreading the word. I mean, 2025 is the year we're going to take these channels up and cut the noose and be loving it. So enjoy this chat with Ashton Forbes.
Ashton, thanks for joining us in Grimerica. How you doing?
Yo, doing really well. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, what an interesting time to be alive, watching this whole narrative shift. And, you know, we just had Disclosure. I mean, Free Energy's on the horizon. I mean, you know, what a time. What do you think?
It's definitely an interesting time. I was watching the inauguration and what was happening after with the executive orders. And one of the ones I just posted about, I don't know when this is going to drop, but I posted and said that the $500 billion towards AI industry, it's supposed to lead to like 100,000 jobs. That seems very relevant. That's a good way to put a lot of money into an industry where America could be the leader of it. So it's a crazy world, but it's always been a crazy world. And hopefully we find a way through it.
Yeah. Well, so what's, I mean, how does this all, it sort of seems to fit in with your research and what you've become famous for, you know, the MH370 disappearance. You've been really hitting the pavement on just pushing like for, you know, zero point energy, all that kind of stuff. You're kind of, it all seems to fit in because it's all kind of like just all percolating, all this information and all this stuff is percolating out. It's like they can't keep it down anymore, you know? So have you seen a big shift in acceptance to this kind of stuff? Because, I mean, we even heard Joe Rogan talk about, he mentioned his guests like two times in a row, mentioned cold fusion on the show. So, like, it's just being talked about now where it wasn't able to be talked about only like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, how funny would it be if like it ends up being a citizen movement that ends up being the thing that breaks the camel's back on this like whole free energy scenario? Because there is movement on it, like you pointed out. I think you would have asked me the question if you didn't also probably think that there was some movement on it. But there is like kind of a movement about zero point energy that's happening. It's based on hard science and facts and reason, and the idea that, you know, cold fusion could be another way other than just heating up electrons or heating up this plasma soup to produce fusion, you know, is also, I think, another way where that could be a tap into this zero point energy. And then I think that ultimately at the end of the day, we that's what we need. And I think there's literally been a psyop, if you want to call it that, which means psychological operation, a suppression effort to get people to think that it's not possible, that, you know, like space is empty and that free energy violates the laws of thermodynamics. And I'm surprised that when we went to renewables, like we got big on solar and wind, why we didn't kind of go back to that whole, like, quantum mechanics says there's like basically infinite amounts of energy all around us. Why are we not like thinking about using that? So I think it'll happen. For me, it's just a matter of when it'll happen, and hopefully it'll happen in our time.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm narrating this book called Transcendental Magic by Eliphas Levi. And just today I was reading, he's talking about this ambient all penetrating fluid, right? Which is kind of like from the sun, and or It's in the atmosphere, the power of central attraction, the body of the Holy Spirit, which we term the universal agent, which was typified by the agents under the symbol of a serpent devouring its tail, electromagnetic ether, this vital and luminous caloric, the girdle of Isis. They've known, like, this has been around, right? People have known about this, but we lost sight of it when they got rid of the ether in the early 1900s. But this is going back to like the mid 1800s, early 1800s. I feel like we're finally kind of gaining back enough ground now where we can start exploring this without being ridiculed.
Yeah, it's the ether has had the biggest kind of like disinfo job done on it, where they turned it into like this medieval fantasy thing where it's like, oh, it's this magical pixie dust that comes out. And then you realize like, oh, no, like there really is this energy all around us all the time, just like the quote unquote mystic people would say. It's like, oh no, that actually does kind of exist. Like, now can somebody like harness and cast a spell with fireball with it? I don't know. I mean, that's up for debate. But the idea of the ether exists. And the only difference is it's not this fluid that we're interacting with. The whole point and the whole problem with it is that we can't visually observe it. So, like, we don't see it there with our perception. And even our best detectors in some cases don't detect any electromagnetic fields.
Yeah, so
that doesn't mean there's not nothing there. It doesn't mean there's nothing going on. So I think that the ether coming back is probably going to happen sooner or at the same time as people figuring out free energy.
Yeah,
because once you figure out that there's this ether of energy there and that there are ways to interact with it, and people say, well, okay, maybe this zero point energy exists, but you can't interact with it. Why? Why? Because you don't understand it. That's the reason. I'm going to cut to the chase. Like, if you don't understand that it's electromagnetic in nature, then of course you think you can't interact with it. But if you understand that, then you think, oh, well, maybe a magnet can like interact with it, like kind of like flipping a switch. And you start thinking outside the box, like many people out there, many scientists have already. So for the naysayers, I'd say like there's already at least three, I'd say, proven ways to produce free energy, to extract zero point energy. Magnetic motors with the right resonance and the right configurations can do it. Microchips that are set up to utilize the Casimir effect is probably the most costly one, but that's going to be the future, is like free energy microchips that are just using these really tiny effects on the small scales, near quantum scales. And then the last one's plasma. Like, plasma is like a natural medium, because all you're doing in plasma is just making this positive and negative separated electric charge. And when you do that, I think nature just has what we know as electricity flows. You know, imagine how simple that is. I just want to question you, or kind of pose this to you and your audience, was that imagine if energy is so much simpler than we make it out to be. It's like we saw lightning and we realized, oh, electricity exists. And what if all it is just having positive and negative charge separated? That's it. As long as there's positive and negative charge separated, be a battery, capacitor, lightning strike, as long as that happens, boom, you get this electricity flows. And then the only reason why it stops is that neutralizes, that separation neutralizes and balances out. Like, that's kind of a profound thought, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think.
Darren?
I don't know enough about electricity, but it seems to be what batteries are doing. It seems to be, I don't, I like
that. I like it. I mean, I like to simplify it like that. I mean, honestly, that's a good
way. I like the plasma stuff, and I like the idea of the little microchips the best, because that seems the most, as long as it's not hooked up with the internet, I feel like I can just, that's the perfect solution. If my phone just charges itself, but the state can't shut it off, and my car just charges itself just from, being alive or just from existing, and the state can't shut it off. I mean, that is the ultimate. I mean, at what level are they doing that now?
Is this the Casimir effect you're talking about, where you put two flat surfaces together and there's an energy that's created between the...
Yeah, and that's just one representation of it. So that's why I also bring up the dynamic Casimir effect a lot to people, which is where they get their electromagnetic flux densities so high that they break it through something called the Julian Schwinger limit, or Schwinger effect, and they're able to actually pull real photons, real light just gets formed. And... to really simplify it, I guess I would say is that you have to think of it in a different way. So instead of just like the two plates, they always use the two plates example. That's just to show you the concept. Let's just show you there's something there. And we change this, interact with this variable, this distance between these two plates. We can interact with the zero point energy and create a very powerful pulling and pushing effect, negative energy type effect. And so, well, what if there's just another way to engineer it? Now, the Casimir cavities, that microchip, what they do is ingenious. It took me a little while to understand the concept of what they were trying to do. And basically, the idea is like a trampoline. It's like, okay, well, if there's this energy out there and it's interacting with all of the atoms all around us all the time, like imagine it replenishing them. Like they're losing energy all the time, but they're also gaining energy from this zero point energy, from this ether all the time. Well, if that's the case, then if we put a little stress on them, like we pull a little bit of energy out, like a trampoline, like jumping on the trampoline, and then the trampoline, what, shoots us up. We get this huge boost of energy from it. We take that energy. And then what happens with the trampoline while we're in the air? Levels back out again, gets ready for another bounce. And so the Casimir cavity effect basically says it takes this semiconductor, and it produces this phase shift with that. It's a very powerful effect that happens in quantum mechanics and microchips. And then it has a cavity maybe filled with gas, could just be air, whatever, but gas. And so that's where when the like electron or what have you goes through this area, it replenishes its energy naturally as opposed to the stress state. So it's like stress state, natural state. Put that concept on a microchip because it's very tiny. And now you have the idea of how you could produce free energy on the small scales. Now, keep in mind, this is a very tiny, tiny amount of energy, but that's fine. I mean, the whole point is you're producing on a very tiny amount of energy at small scale, and then you scale that up to a level where, I mean, it's infinite energy. So even a small amount over time adds up, right?
Yeah. So have you also noticed a shift in people accepting your orb and MH370 hypothesis with all the new interest in UFOs and the free energy together? Like, I feel like you've made it through a couple rough spots there, and now people are kind of like attacking you a little less, or there's a little bit. Because there's been so much news about
UFOs. A lot of ups and downs, you know. And I would say, in terms of people attacking me less, there's still a lot of attacks out there. I think it's just not as in vogue as it was in the past, but there's still a lot. Like certain interviewers that they post out there, they're having me on, and people really freak out. which is weird to me. It's such a weird reaction. I don't think I've ever had that reaction, being like someone announced their interview. Someone's like, either I'm interested or not interested. But
right, exactly. It's like, with the cancel culture vibe. Like,
yeah, that's cancel culture's over, guys. Especially not in the physics community or conspiracy community. What are we talking about here,
man? I think that's what it is. It's the threat to the materialism or something, or the paradigm. And I mean, who knows how many of these might be trolls too? Like, they want to keep the paradigm going too. And if they see people like you that are kind of grabbing all these things together, pushing through the paradigm a bit, I mean, it might be just a psyop too.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people, my true opinion, let's just get unfiltered here, is just that I think that a significant percentage of people in the world are NPCs, non-player characters. When I first heard that term, I thought it was kind of silly. The more I thought about it, the more more sure I am that it's real. And it's just that, you know, when you say that, what would be the best representation? It would be somebody sitting on their phone just watching TikTok, right? Like, that's the best representation for the NPC mentality. And you're not necessarily a full NPC or not, but a lot of people out there, that's all they're doing all the time nowadays.
Yeah.
And we've reached a point where, you know, people, it's almost impossible for a lot of people, especially younger people, to distinguish what's real and what's not. Like, we just reached a point where it's just post, you know, nothing can be real, nothing's not. And it makes it really difficult to understand what's real about the world.
Yeah.
And where we go to figure out those answers about what's real about the world is we go to the media. We go to our government to tell us, and we go to our academics. Those are the three pillars, in my opinion, the three pillars that hold us up. And it turns out from my research, all of those pillars are fraudulent. You know, you imagine that we have hyper advanced technology that we got either from aliens or from future humans or from cryptids or from underwater sea people or whatever, ghosts maybe from another dimension, wherever we got it. We got this technology. What does that mean about those pillars? It means that academia was unable to find out that there's like a whole branch of physics and science that we just haven't discovered it yet. Or, you know, worst case scenario, we bunch of people already discovered it and we've just been ignoring it. Like there's a bunch of papers out there. We've just been ignoring it. Well, guess what? That's the answer. There's a bunch of papers just been ignoring it. Now, the media, they're supposed to report on what's true and what have you. Now, we know for a long time they failed. They don't do journalism anymore. They haven't done journalism in a long time. I've done more journalism than most, if not all, mainstream media over the last year. And then the government. The problem is the government's committing black operations, illegal operations. It owns the media and controls not just the perception of like events, but also what things to report on, what things not to report on. So the problem with the MH370 videos is that it shows all of those things to be fit, all of those pillars to be fraudulent. Yeah. And a lot of people can't accept that. That means their whole reality is fake. And that's what I tell people is, yes, your reality is fake. All of our realities are fake. But does that mean that, you know, life's any less worth living? You know, 99.9% of the time, I'm not thinking about what the government is doing. You know, I'm just living my life. I'm enjoying this life that we have on this planet that we have. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to come around because the ontological shock hits you hard at first. And my favorite story is the people that respond that say, oh, you know, I called you names and thought you were crazy. And then I started looking into it and was like, oh, wait, actually, there's like a lot here. And that's the truth. That's what I think. If you're an impartial person, you look into it, you realize like, oh, this guy's saying some crazy stuff that seems just completely impossible. And then you go down the same journey I did. You start looking into it. You're like, wait, actually, there are scientific papers about wormholes and guys that are like government physicists writing about them, and zero point energy does really exist. And you're like, huh. And that's the PSYOP, is that they wanted us to not ever think about those things and ever put those pieces together to realize like, oh, this is the answer for UFOs. This is what's causing things to fly. This is an external source of energy.
Is there any latest stuff that you need to mention about the videos at all, or that you want to mention about the videos, if we're just staying on that topic for a bit?
You know, what I would say is I've never really cared that much about convincing people. It's never really why I did any of this. Like, just I have a normal job that I still do 9 to 5. And my only goal was to get this into the zeitgeist, which I think has been accomplished.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is some stuff that I think is important for people to understand. At the end of the day, whether or not people think the videos are real or not real doesn't really matter. From the perspective of somebody who knows the videos are real, it's just a matter of time until people realize that that physics is real. And I'm just going to try to push it forward. So, you know, I look at the physics side of it as well. And it's like, it's just a matter of advancing to show people what the science is possible to undo that spell that they have been done with. And then everything starts to kind of untangle and unwind itself, from there. And with respect to the videos, I think it's a situation where the government will never be able to admit what they did for a black project operation like that. Kind of how they like, they can never admit some other things that are like big popular conspiracies that people are like 99% sure that they pretty much did. So the thing that is the hugest though for the people that are the people who want to be like, show me the evidence. Like, what's the real evidence? Is once again, I've got to harp on there's coordinates in the satellite video. Now, this is possibly the biggest thing we uncover is that's not just the satellite video, is something called whammy footage, wide aerial motion imagery. Wide aerial motion imagery is a fusion of multiple sources, including satellites and probably high altitude planes and drones as well. I mean, any asset that they can put a sensor on. And then that data gets beamed through high Earth orbit satellites, because those have the right oblong shape or orbit where they can have good line of sight from all of these assets. Turns out that's what NROL-22 is, which is what you see next to the coordinates in the satellite video. The coordinates in the satellite video in the bottom left say NROL-22, and then they have the location up to 6 decimal places in the Nicobar Islands, where if you were to draw a straight line with a ruler going through the last radar pings by the Malaysian military, you basically run directly into those coordinates within like 20 minutes. So just to point out for anyone who wondered, like, why is that Malaysian Airlines Flight 370? That's why. And then those videos came out between 4 and 70 days after the plane disappeared. Like, that's why there's nobody on this planet that is faking this whammy footage. We were able to figure out that the interface that they're using, because again, this is not a fake video. If this is a fake video, we wouldn't be figuring out like the interface they're using, like in the video. They have this background where it's like very zoomed out. And what these cameras do is they take like hundreds, if not thousands, of little pictures of like very tiny spots, and then it fuses them all together. And a movie is just pictures, motion pictures, right? Stacked on each other. So they have these pictures, then you can press somewhere, and then it pulls up a window. And now you're tracking motion in real time. And the reason why it's only 6 frames per second in the video, you know what? I'll share it while I'm saying it here so that, like,
yeah, I might as well. Sure. Yeah.
The audience can appreciate this. Oh, yeah. I can just share the. There you go. So if you pull that up, the reason why this is 6 frames per second, you see the coordinates in the bottom left. The reason why this looks jittery is because somebody pulled up a window, and now you can see the cursor coming on the screen, and now they have the zoomed in window, and they can move it around, and they can have like dozens of these windows open at the same time. And they're doing a screen recording of the window. The person is moving the perspective around on the window based on something from behind the scene or some overlay that they've got going on with like a middle mouse click. So as impossible as this is to believe, you just look at it forensically without even just ignoring the plane that you see in the video and the orbs swirling around it. And you realize, like, who would have even known all this information to piece this together? Because they're putting together a real story in this video. A real story, real surveillance capability. It's military capability. It's not commercial capability. So we know that somebody would have had to leak this video, find the guy who's the leaker. I also had another whistleblower guy come forward and say that he had worked on the Cyber system in the late 90s. Talked to him, I spoke for a while. I got his background, highly credible source. Worked on it in an unclassified setting, said this is definitely CBRS, which is a space-based infrared system. And then he was telling me about how he was explaining that as a network engineer, he understood this must be CBRS because of how they like connect the assets together. And I didn't even fully understand the implications of what he was saying. And then it was later on we found out about this whammy footage, and I went, oh, okay, this is why. Because he's connecting all these feeds together to computers, and the computers are rendering what you see here using this interface that I explained to you. So I have a whistleblower that he was willing to talk to the AARO as well and kind of confirm that this is going on. I actually owe the AARO. How do I leave this? I owe the AARO a follow-up so that I can get the final record submitted, but I had the whammy footage update happen, so I've got to make a few changes. We also think that there might be a different drone. It might not necessarily be an MQ-1C Gray Eagle, which is what we highly speculated up until this point. There's also a Navy drone that looks the same called like MQ-20 Avenger, I think is what it's called, MQ-20 Avenger. And I think this is a Navy operation. Like, I'm actually willing to go so far now to say that MH370 is a U.S. Navy operation, that Edward C. Lynn, the guy that leaked the videos, was a U.S. Navy guy. We've got a U.S. Navy drone potentially looking at the plane. The U.S. Navy was using that whammy footage. We found multiple sources that corroborate that. And then the Chinese and the Russians were pinning it on the U.S. Navy as well. There was a Russian GRU report that said the U.S. Navy took the plane. And then the Chinese intercepted a communication that wasn't reported on Western media, that Malaysian Airlines was disintegrating, attempting emergency landing, intercepted from U.S. Navy. So if you look at it from like an outsider's perspective, somebody who's not like an American that's rah-rah and doesn't just believe all of our media at face value, it's pretty clear the United States government was implicated in the plane. And I hope people wake up to it, but I understand why it would be difficult, because it might mean their whole lives are a lie. Just is what it is.
Was there ever a point in time when you thought or kind of said that video was fake, or when you did you change
early on? Of course, like, I was just wondering, and you know, if you had like bluffed at me super hard early on, then you probably could have shaken me. Like, the move would have been like, you have somebody come forward as the hoaxer that you know, isn't really the hoaxer, but you take the videos and use AI to like remove the orbs from them or something like that. And you say, this was the original, and you just make up a story about it. And that would have been the play if you were like, you know, full on disinformation to make stuff go away. If somebody had done that, then I would have definitely fallen for it. I mean, that's just, you know, it's rough. And I think that I fell for a similar play that was, you know, they took the satellite imagery and they planted it on the internet after sometime after the videos had leaked. Because they realized that after the videos were on the internet, you can't ever make it go away. Because if you start wiping it on the internet, people are going to start uploading it everywhere. It'll be this Streisand effect with people wondering, why is this video being deleted from the internet? When you have obscurity, it's better. But then what you have to do for the debunkers is, and this is a lesson for the disinfo people out there, I'm helping them out a little bit too, but on the people who are looking out for it, this is a big, keep an eye out for this. The number one go-to for debunking people, and you'll see this in any form, not just UFOs, is they always say, like, something looks like something else, therefore it must be that thing. That's the level of argument that you see all the time.
Well, that just happened on the egg one, which we'll get back to recently.
Yes, it happened in the egg one recently too. So, and again, I'm not even a big fan of the whole egg story or whatever. I'm an unbiased guy, and I'm actually generally a skeptic. But you'll see people, if people go to that argument, you should pretty much throw out their argument right away. There's lots of stuff that looks like other things. That doesn't mean it is that other thing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not a, so this is what also happens with, so in the MH370 videos, they planted this imagery on the internet. And I think they just literally took the satellite imagery, like the whammy footage, and they either used AI or they just cut it up and they put it into an existing set of images out there to make it look like it was part of those images. And they put it on the internet, like, you know, a couple years after the footage leaked. And then that's perfect, because then all you have to do later on, if this stuff starts to get popular, is you have somebody random claim to find these images on wherever you planted it. Because if you, the problem is that, like, no, what if no one finds them? You know, no one's going to find them because you planted them somewhere in some random ass spot on the internet. So that's why you have 1 day old and 5 day old Reddit accounts randomly find them anonymously with no logical explanation. And you give it to the debunkers, and the debunkers only care about credentials and sources when it's like you. When it's their side of stuff, it's like, oh, some random guy gave me this random shit. Okay, well, this is trustworthy and 100% unreliable. So be on the lookout for that in general. But for the MH370 case, the number one question people are probably thinking and asking me is, well, Ashton, I heard they were searching recently. Yeah, they're supposed to be searching right now. And it's a no fine, no fee. So if they don't find anything, then Malaysia doesn't have to pay. And so therefore, all of the costs would go and be on Ocean Infinity for the search. So they must think that they, you know, have some chance of finding it. They don't have any chance of finding it. Unless it was planted down there, they have no chance. And that's what everybody asked me is, Ashton, do you think they planted the plane or the debris? No, I don't think so. I think that there's a couple of problems with that. One is, if they find debris somewhere they already searched before, now you've got a lot of questions. And now you're going to really look at that debris and go, how long was that in the water? Yeah. Was it really in the water for 10 years? And it's going to be tough to fake that.
Yeah.
And the only story that even makes sense based on the evidence we have is that the plane somehow perfectly landed on the water and then sunk on the water in one piece. Because if this plane cracked in half, now you've got hundreds of bodies, hundreds, I think it's like about 1,000 pounds of flotation devices just alone, let alone all the plastic and there should have been a giant debris field. So anyway, now we've got to find a Boeing 777 intact at the bottom of the ocean with 239 bodies in it that are all preserved to 10 years later, because we got a fully intact Boeing 777 at the bottom of the ocean. Can you actually fake that? Like, where were you hiding the bodies for the last 10 years? No, I think the problem with this, and the beauty of this, is that enough time has gone by before we discovered the videos that the people that did this got complacent and they can't go and recover it up now. You had to have covered it up right after the fact, which is what they did, I think, with the satellite imagery. And I think they maybe had this VFX comparison ready to go. The VFX doesn't match at all. And I don't know why, like, it, like, they kind of line it up on one edge and it's like kind of similar, but if you were to like actually go back and forth, you could see it doesn't really line up, and they go, that's a perfect match. And you're like, wait, no, it's not. But I feel like they had that ready to go as well. And they kind of like had people go look at that and then, like, you know, because in most cases that would work. The reason why it doesn't work in this case, guys, for the people who are going, Ashton, that's proof the videos are fake. there is way too much evidence the videos are real. Again, we've got coordinates of the real location of the plane. There was a witness there who saw the plane as well. This isn't a situation where you can just be like, they just made this up. There's corroborating evidence based on what we're seeing in those videos. Real people, real stuff like that. So
I gotta go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was ranting. Go for it.
So have you ever heard about those two? There was two shows, at least there was two shows or movies. I think there was a series actually. And it was called The Event. I think it was about a plane that went missing. Have you ever like watched those or deconstructed them to see? Cause I mean, it is weird that Hollywood, I mean, I guess it might be a fairly popular theme to have a plane go missing, but I think on one of the shows, the people actually came back like 5 or 6 years later. Is there any conspiracies about like those actual people coming back from?
There's some people say that's not going to happen either. The phones were ringing days later, which I think also proves not only the plane not going to the ocean, but also proves the plane wasn't in another dimension.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, it's not somewhere bizarro. And we did find debris, and I do think it's from MH370. I just think they put it in the ocean near Diego Garcia when they like tore the plane apart or something. Or like the plane was like landing at Diego Garcia and it was falling apart because it had been on fire and they were able to put the fire out, but now you got a burnt up Boeing 777, you know? Something like that, because the debris location in Africa actually matches, like, the currents match it going to the water near Diego Garcia. I don't know how people don't point this out, especially because that's, like, the number one conspiracy theory for where people think the plane went. Sorry, what was your... I got sidetracked.
No, I was just talking about the weird Hollywood aspect of,
the predictive programming stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that, like, sure, I think there is an element of that. I mean, all of Star Trek is basically real. If those videos are real, first thing I did was look into the science. I found there's only one answer for what we see in those videos, and the answer is zero point energy. You're seeing this negative energy, this cold event. The only reason why you're seeing that cold event is it turns out we can go below zero. You know, below zero, where we didn't think we could go before. We thought there was nothing below zero. We thought zero point energy is insignificant. Well, those videos show we were wrong, and that without the, you know, some people think you need the mass of like Jupiter to make a black, to like make a wormhole or something. We're not looking at the mass of Jupiter in those videos. So that's the big rub of why those videos are so huge. And therefore anything in Star Trek's real, Stargate might be real. We might be able to make real Stargates. Like it really, I've just reached a point too where people ridicule or get mad at me because I think I ridicule psi powers and stuff like that. But I would believe literally anything that you show me evidence for at this point. Yeah.
Do you have Earth?
That's interesting because they're just naming that whole new big AI thing they just announced today. They're calling it Stargate.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm telling you guys that people should not be sleeping on that. $500 billion is a lot of money.
The AI thing. I thought the Stargate would have been some Mars thing or something. No, so the AI thing is called Stargate?
Yeah, I mean, AI is probably already
won. Entire military budget for a year, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of money. $500 billion is more than like what you generally get for new industries. Like even when we were excited about solar power, we weren't putting that much money into it. And I love this because, you know, I like economics. That's actually where my general schooling was from. And you want to have a competitive advantage in industries, which means that you don't have to be the best at it, but you need to be more efficient at that than other people are at that, than other thing that it could be producing. And when you do this type of investment, this is how you get your country become specialized in that, where it's like, yep, we can be the AI country. And what's the future? The future is AI. Look around.
They're behind on it too. I think that's the problem.
Is what?
I think they're behind on it too.
Yeah, no, that's the thing too, is that, yeah, we had 4 years of Biden. You know what? I'm just going to be a little bit political. Biden was horrible. Horrible, horrible administration, accomplished nothing. I feel like Trump already accomplished more in one day than Biden did the whole time. And we should be spending money on stuff like this. Initiatives like that, initiatives like the DOGE initiative, where we're working on efficiency, those should be things all the time that we're constantly working on. How can we make government more efficient instead of just like, let's just keep spending more and keep raising more taxes, more and more and more. It's like, why don't we get rid of old programs that are obsolete? Let's get rid of honestly, we could get rid of a lot of three-letter agencies, but the focus should be on science and technology. Is that, hey, What are the emerging sites? Also, hey, can we get some money in cold fusion, please, people out there? We're spending billions and billions and billions, like $10 billion a year or something like this on hot fusion, and it's accomplishing nothing. And what's going to happen is, like, Peter Thiel's buddies in the CIA are going to make a breakthrough in fusion. They're not going to call it cold fusion, but they're going to use those principles, and they're all going to make billions of dollars once again, and everybody else is going to be screwed.
Yeah.
Like, let's, and they're going to basically just, you know, reap the benefits of all those billions of dollars that were wasted for nothing.
Is that hot fusion, like the Topamax stuff, where they're making those massive, like $3 billion lasers to try and get some sort of minimal over unity? And
that's exactly, I like your, actually, yes, they're going to get like some minimal over unity. And the problem is they're never going to really take off, because they're trying to do it by just taking this region and just heating it up. Let's just heat this up. That's why we call it hot fusion. And we look at this Maxwell-Boltzmann equation. It's like, okay, we got to get to this point here in the equation on the graph. And then we'll get the most, you know, if fusion ignition should take off from there. The smart people are going, well, hey, if I just make a ball of plasma, maybe I just have free energy right there. And maybe that's just a tap into zero point energy. I can just pull off electricity from that. Great. And the other cold fusion people are thinking, well, and that is also like, well, I can just make, you know, use gravity. If I can make artificial gravity, then I would make like a little black hole and I would just have everything sucked towards it. And then I would get fusion potentially happening with that as well. So if you really take gravity out of the equation, then of course you think cold fusion is impossible. But if you just think in terms of like pressure forces, magnetic forces, or other thing that's not as simple as heating, a lot of it just comes down to forcing things to come together. Really that simple. And even with the Pons and Fleischmann, it's just like palladium and heavy water. Really what they're doing there is like the molecules of the water are getting into the metal. And this is where you're seeing this chemical reaction occur, where they saw excess energy come out. So cold fusion, I think, is what's going to make it happen. And these guys need, like, it's crazy. This let's shout out the ENG8 company, cold fusion company based out of Portugal. They are looking to raise in their investor round, I think like $4 million to make a 100 kilowatt industrial generator. And their cold fusion is definitely cold fusion, because they're using EVOs, like balls of plasma.
Yeah, exotic and, vacuum objects. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, and so they use like a magnetic pinch effect. So they basically like imagine a cylinder, and then you have this magnetic vortex pinching it, counter-rotating vortex, pinch it down. So that's how they're creating their fusion. And it does create fusion as well, like helium and what have you. And they can use air as the input. They don't need anything else. Like, air is good enough. So, guys, yes, we're talking literal free energy here. Right now, I think that they claim 3 to 5 times over unity, and it's electrical over unity as well. So it comes out in the form of electricity, as opposed to, like, with nuclear power, we're used to heating up this water and boiling it. And so the over unity in some cases will come out in the form of heat. That's what was happening with Pons and Fleischmann. They had these water containers and it was starting to boil. And they're going, well, how is this boiling? And that's when they realized there must be fusion happening. So ENG8, they seem legit. I'm not like endorsing them, but they did give me an invite to come out and check out their lab. So I may take them up on that and check it out. So
yeah, I mean, any kind of, you know, publicity, some of these companies that are trying it out. I mean, I heard you mention recently that, I mean, even so Ken Shoulders, one of the original researchers in Ball Lightning and these EVOs, I think he's the one that might have actually named it EVO. Somebody mentioned him. Who was it? Somebody in that I don't think it was Trump, but I think you mentioned that one of these high level guys mentioned him like recently. So I just feel like it's all coming up. It's all
changing. Hal Putoff mentioned was asked about him.
Yeah,
and that was interesting to listen. Because Hal Putoff, like, man, that guy is like a good liar.
He's deep. He's as deep as they come.
He's definitely deep state too. He's definitely one of the covert administrative elites, no question.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you too, they're not mustache twirling villains. You know,
he's a nice
guy. I respect the hell out of him, but he's definitely gatekeeping zero point energy from us.
Yeah.
You can just tell when you look at his papers, you're like, nobody just does like, oh, all of a sudden, like 180 degree turn, time to write 20 papers about zero point energy and make my whole life about studying UFOs. Like, what, dude? What?
after like he went through, after he went through, what was it, SRI and
with after that other guy, Stanford Research Institute, being a CIA spook that's working on remote viewing. Yeah. Like, come on. The more you think about it, like, people are going to look back at this and they're going to be like, yeah, of course, Aputov was like the godfather of zero point energy in the world. Just like, you know, had no idea. They're going to be like, it was obvious in retrospect when you look at like the totality of his work and everything he was saying. Yeah. He's such a chill guy as well. Yeah, I was just talking actually with Avi Loeb. The interview is going to drop probably in like a week or so or something like that.
That's
and
good.
I was asking him about some of these guys' work and stuff like that. And it seems like there's not a lot of crossover. So like the question is like, how does academia not figure this stuff out? How do they not figure this science out? Because they're not like talking with, and they don't like respect like the Hal Puthoffs and the Eric
Davis. They're not talking to the labs, no?
For the academics, especially the ones that are like the popular ones that people know, the popularizers, they're good people, but they're not in the lab. They're not on the front lines. It's like, so for them, it's like, it's got to be credible who they know, who they respect is doing research. And the whole point of what the Eric Davises and Hal Puthoffs and the other Black Project engineers do is that they've signed NDAs where they're not talking about it. So they have no incentive to show anybody anything, certainly not talk about any of the stuff that they know. And the people that work in the Black Project, those are the ones who are like seeing the effects with their eyes. And I tell you, like, as an example, what I tell people is like, you imagine that if you were in a lab and you saw them like teleport an object like the size of your cell phone from over here to another room over here. You come out of that and you just go, okay, what's real? What's not real? How is this possible? You're never going and telling an Avi Loeb like, hey, man, just saw the thing get teleported from here to there. Because he's the first thing he says, well, show me the evidence. He's like, well, I can't. It was just a story. I mean, I saw it, but I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. He seemed pretty open when we chatted with him a while back. I think it was before he was doing that, that Galileo project, I think, or something.
He's a great guy. I mean, big love to him. He's been a big hero of mine. Actually, I told him before we started recording that this was like bigger than, like, I was getting nervous because it was like bigger than, like, if Taylor Swift was in the room, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's that teen pop girl or whatever. But if it's like Avi Loeb, I'm like, oh man, I'm like a little like starstruck right now, bro. You're just talking to me. I'm just some random guy. But no, our conversation was great. I mean, I think it's going to trigger some people. I think that it's not going to be like groundbreaking in terms of any new revelations or anything like that. But we started talking about the physics and the zero point energy stuff. And the way he was describing the physics, I was like, I have to ask him. I have to show him the videos. I was like, I'm sorry. I told him in the interview, I'm like, hey, I didn't want to do this. I thought we were just going to talk about physics, but like, I need to show you this based on what you've been saying. And it said, you know, this looks to me like negative energy, and then we're looking at zero point energy in these videos. And then I got real with him. I was like, hey man, I want to point out like this is just has been this adventure I've been on, and this is what led me to these videos and led me to you. And had a great chat about, you know, physics and aliens and, you know, whether or not AI has already taken over the world. So the reason why I'm kind of bringing this up is not just to self-congratulate, but also to point out that we are influencing people. Like with this movement of zero point energy that started out of nowhere, it's influencing people that are themselves influential.
Yeah.
And so that's why you're seeing people talk about cold fusion. You're seeing people ask about free energy. You're seeing way less people, when people bring up free energy, way less going, oh, that violates the laws of thermodynamics.
Yeah,
because now they're realizing, oh no, if there's this other source of energy, this zero point energy around us, this is the hand signals I do, then of course we don't violate the laws of thermodynamics anymore. That's just a new energy source that we can tap into. So I'm glad that people are talking about it. I'm glad that podcasters are interested in it, because the more we talk about it, the faster it's going to become a reality.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then the guys like Avi Loeb will take that leap and talk to people like yourself, even though, you know, some people say you got a bad, you know, reputation for the MH370 stuff. Not in, you know what I mean? Not in a negative way, like from my point of view, but you know, I mean, people are just going to go, oh my God, Avi talked to Ashton. But I mean, now he's willing to do that, which is that's a huge sign. It's a positive sign. And then when we came just out of the weekend of disclosure, like the capital D disclosure, I mean, everybody wanted a firsthand witness to an NHI UAP. And we had it with the big egg. And I mean, I saw your, some of your comments on X, so I thought we might as well talk about that a little bit because it's got to do with all your stuff.
Wait a second. As the non-UFO guy in the conversation, I have to jump in and say, this is not the what we were talking about when we said we wanted the craft and the thing. We didn't want somebody to tell us about it. We wanted to see that.
There's video there. There's video there. People wanted video and the first-hand witness.
Switch. This is the biggest rug pull ever. Because let's be honest, this is, we wanted a actual, show me the actual craft, not 5 seconds of an egg-shaped anything that's being picked up by a helicopter. This is the biggest debate
ever. I want some Independence Day shit where it's like the whole city is like, what the fuck, man? UFO. And it's like, all right.
What I'm saying is I knew it was going to be something like this where because they do this all the time. And this is the part where like this was my chance to push back because a lot of these UFO people have been trying to say that I hurt the community with the MH370 videos talking about how teleportation and wormholes are real. Which makes me laugh because a lot of people are like themselves believe in like psychic powers. And I'm like, the only way that's possible is if we can teleport something. Like if we can teleport something, then okay, psychic powers are on the table. But if we can't, then look, psychic powers aren't really on the table. Physics doesn't add up based on how we understand it. But yeah, the response that I, you know, getting to some of the stuff with like the Avi Loeb is so, it's crazy to see it, but it's also really huge because he's actually like open-minded about some of this stuff. But even the egg shaped thing, like that's not going to interest Avi. Like I spoke to him for like an hour and a half and he's all about show me the evidence, show me the evidence. And that's the right mentality to have. And sure, the stories are great, but we've moved past the story time now. Like the stories are out there. The stories say that aliens are real. Stories say that we're crashing craft and we're recovering them. We need irrefutable evidence. Like, yeah. Look at the MH370 videos. Use that as a pedestal. Even if you believe those videos are fake, that's still your pedestal. If it's not as good as those videos, it's not going to move the needle.
Well, we cannot. The problem is, we got to get away from videos. We have to see a craft. We have to have some physical craft here or something. You know,
nowadays it has to be personalized. Like, I'm at the point where if I don't see the fucking UFO myself, you know, if it's on this thing. Bad chance. I mean, I, you know, after the stuff I've seen in the last 5 years, it's like I can't believe anything I see here, or you know, if it ain't physically me seeing it, I'd have a hard time with it. It would have to be like that or like 1 degree. I mean, Ivan, you're like one of my best friends, and you tell me you see a UFO, and I'm like, hey, did you?
Especially with AI now. Like you see what they can do with AI. Like I was watching, like it was Kamala Harris and her husband Doug Emhoff like fighting, and it was all fake. And then like two extra people appear out of nowhere, and I'm like, wait, okay, yeah, that's okay, that's AI. Never mind. But it was so good, you know. In some cases, where yeah, it becomes hard to tell, and that's a real problem for us in the future. How do we distinguish what's real and what's not? One of the beauties of the MH370 videos is they're from 2014, confirmed, which predates all commercial AI by like. I think OpenAI hadn't even become a company for like another year and a half till after that. Yeah. So, but yeah, even with AI, we can still figure out what's real and what's not. Like if you are actually honest with yourselves and you were to look at videos and we were to do tests, I think humans are going to pick out the fake videos versus the real ones 75% of the time, maybe a little bit less, but better than 50%, which is good.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember in the mid-90s, we were talking about the UFOs and how back then they were like, you know, it's hard to prove these pictures are real because you can prove they're fake. You can prove pictures are and videos are fake, but you can't just prove they're real. You know, you can just say that we haven't proved it fake yet is like as far as you can go. So, but I guess my point is I enjoyed the part about his, you know, the telepathic stuff, the possession of the angelic being and all that. I mean, I've been to enough CE5s myself where we make contact with something. I'm not saying I think we should be doing that, but it's possible. So, you know, I feel like this was interesting. I haven't really, you know, thought too deep about it, but interesting that they're allowing this out into let's assume it's a psyop of some sorts and they're allowing this out to the public about the telepathic aspect of it and the psychic aspect. So, I mean, why would they put that out there as a psyop?
I mean, that part, like, isn't that already been out there? I thought all that stuff was already out there. That was like the Chris Bledsoe stuff. He's already summoning orbs. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but not officially, not official from government. That this is kind of
really the government. Like, this guy's, like, as far as I understood, he was like just right. There's like a helicopter pilot that he, like, yeah, he worked on some for like weird, this like retrieval stuff for like test, you know.
No, he's government. I think he was government. Okay. Yeah.
So, well, anyway, the narrative though is, you know, he's his own guy doing his own thing. But and like maybe people think that he's, you know, a government plant. I'm not sure I'm under that impression. But yeah, the CE5 stuff, I'm not really interested in it. But, you know, it can be real if, you know, there's an ether of energy and we can, you know, transmit thoughts like that. It's going to take a lot for me to believe that people have like X-Men powers. And it's going to take a lot for me to believe that you can control an orb with your mind. Let's look at that part. Do I keep it in the realm of possibility? Of course I do. Like I said, I don't rule anything out. I think that you show me evidence for it and I'm down, bro. If you could,
yeah, not even, I was going to say, not even a lot. Just show
me with his mind and he's doing like the maestro thing and he can make it dance in the sky, you know, and he can do that and prove that he can do that. Heck, if he can do that and it's like a drone that he's controlling, and he's controlling it with his mind. Shit, even that's impressive. I don't care. So I'm open to all the evidence that's out there. With respect to the evidence in general, though, like, I want to make it clear. I don't want it to seem like I'm just criticizing without saying like what my standard is. That's the difference between debunkers and people that are just skeptics. You need higher quality evidence. So yes, photos used to be the thing, but a photo, that could be a fish line that's hanging and they're, you know, distorting perception, make it look like something else. Video becomes better because you can rule stuff out like that. But then there's other cases where now you can do VFX, you can edit stuff in, what have you. The best footage is military. Look at the MH370 videos. Look at what we're looking at there. That whammy footage is some kind of hyperspectral, false color infrared, something going on. Where, like, because it's computer-based, they can make it look however they want. They can make it look like daytime when it's nighttime, like they do in that video. The thermal video, look at the thermal video, proves zero point energy is real just from the temperature differences that we see. There's never been a video that shows endothermic propulsion other than the MH370 drone video, and only the drone video shows it.
That's not the one you showed us, right?
I'll show it.
That's a different one, right?
This is what we need.
I think this is the one I saw you at the Cosmic.
I'm going to show here. This is the color change version, just so you can see the lines in front of the orbs, because these lines in front of the orbs show UFO propulsion. Like, these are not behind the orbs, they're in front of them. You can see very clearly from this version of the video. It's cooling the air in front of them. So it's pulling energy out of the area in front of them. A lot of physics just comes down to hot and cold. So, and this is what I learned when you start digging into zero point energies, you're like, oh, so it's pulling the energy out in front of it and it's just falling into that area. That's basically how gravity manipulation works. You simplify
it. It's like wind, I guess. It's got something's got to replace it once it's gone.
It's just pressure, buoyancy, all these effects, they work the same way with gravity. So that's what you're seeing with respect to that video right there.
It's just such
that's what we need. We need something like that. Why are we not getting more of that? Especially when we just had this UFO hearing and they said that there's like hundreds or thousands of UFO videos on some classified government system or something like that. Yeah. How much you want to bet they have videos that look just like that one we were just looking at there. Yeah.
Well,
that's the level of evidence. I don't even care about whistleblowers or people saying stories anymore. Like, yeah. I've already heard all the stories. I don't care if it's reptilian. Well,
I want to pick away at that because you have heard all the stories. You've been kind of, you're the guy now. You've been sort of chipping away at it for the longest and going and going and going. So I wouldn't mind a little, you know, even speculation, if you don't mind, on who leaked that shit and where the plane went. And I know you said that think it went to the Garcia. Why did it go there? Who was on board? Because it's been a while and I'm not even fully up to speed on some of that stuff. And I think it'd just be sort of good for our audience.
Yeah, Edward C. Lynn, he is the guy that leaked it, lieutenant commander in the Navy, special, he was on some special program, the VPU-2 Wizards secret spy plane program. It was stated by the French father who lost his wife and children that the Americans knew what happened to the plane, and there was two spy planes tracking the plane in the area. He was probably on one of those planes that night. He's the guy who leaked it. He went to prison. He got out. I've been trying to find him. If anyone can find him, you know what? $500 reward. Anyone that can put me in touch with him where I can communicate with him, $500 reward. I'll probably increase that later on. It's a real reward, by the way. He's in the wind. He's been in the wind for a while. He almost certainly leaked those videos. Government was terrified of going to trial. They were afraid because they'd have to show the evidence of what he leaked. It never would say what it was. He got a disproportionate sentence. His lawyer said that the evidence in question was available on the internet. You're putting someone away for 9 years for disseminating classified information that's available on the internet? It's got to be those videos. It's got to be. Where the plane go, Diego Garcia, probably through the Maldives. We don't know the full flight path. We don't have two videos on the other side to be able to tell you, you know, like where did the plane teleport to? But there's some weird evidence that lines up. Like a bunch of people saw the plane flying towards Diego Garcia in the early morning hours, like 15 people on a small island. The question is, how did it get there at that time period before then it got to Diego Garcia? As for
Diego Garcia is American, isn't it?
Yeah, American based. They're trying to sell it. In fact, it's crazy because I started promoting this new political thing to not sell Diego Garcia, not sell our military base, even though I'm saying that we sent our thing there because we're probably testing crazy orbs and things at Diego Garcia. Of course, we shouldn't give up the military base. Are you kidding me? Don't give China an inch when it comes to our military base. It's like Area 51 with orbs flying around. People are like, Ashton, but it's an evil military base. I'm like, that's why we got to keep it. I'm American. I'm on America's side.
We'll do next year's Cosmic Summit at Diego Garcia.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, maybe if I try to fly there and they orb me away. But yeah, the last thing is the reason is the semiconductor engineers. If you look at the plane, the people that stick out, 20 semiconductor engineers. What did I tell you earlier in this podcast? I said that one of the ways to make microchips is the Casimir cavities. Or to make free energy is using microchip Casimir cavities. So we've got these 20 guys on board, 20 people on board. They were engineers. They weren't like CXOs. They were like people that actually matter. They probably had intellectual property and they may have had cargo with them as well. And it seems like the story is they were trying to defect to China with this technology. And if you have this technology, teleportation technology, free energy technology, then anybody who tries to get it, you just wipe them out. And anybody who tries to even mess around with getting it, you wipe them out. So the only question is, why did they not just shoot a missile at it? Well, a missile is going to leave evidence. It's going to be messy. Someone's got to take the fall. You know, in this case, the plane's just gone. It's just gone. No one knows where it went. Just gone. No one to blame. You know, so it was probably a show of force to our adversaries to be like, yep, we've got teleportation tech. And they didn't, you know, the adversaries wouldn't know it's necessarily teleportation tech. They would just know the plane just got wiped out. The plane just doesn't exist anymore. And they would wonder, like, what did they just use on that plane? And they would wonder every single time Vladimir Putin got in an airplane, he would be wondering, is America going to wipe me out with some orbs? Is that, you know, that's why you do what you do to that plane.
And you wait for the right moment to do it. I mean, there's not many instances where you even want to pull that tech out, but that would be the time.
I mean, yeah, that's the big move is that, man, somebody, this is like, it's like 4th and 10, like, and you're the coach that's pulling the big balls out to go, we're going for it on 4th and 10, you know, we're down 10 and there's still a quarter to go, but we're going to go for it right here in this moment. And you're like, dude, you crazy? You're like, nope, we're breaking out the technology. We're breaking out the orb tech. It's been sitting in the back for 10 years and we haven't used it once, you know, like that's what I imagine the situation's like. And I imagine whoever, here's a spicy take. I imagine whoever made the call, they probably got promoted, but they actually deserve like a bunch of scorn. They probably failed their way upward because it worked out in the end. Like they didn't end up getting caught for it. But when the videos leaked, that person was probably shitting bricks. Can you imagine like the person who called for this operation? Imagine if it was Obama. Obama calls this operation, says, yep, we're going to pull the trigger on, you know, stealing this plane because these scientists on board, we can't let China get it. And then all of a sudden these videos go on the internet and you're just going, oh shit, if people start paying attention to those videos, we are effed.
What would have been anybody lower than Obama? I mean,
it's hard to say. A lot of people try to tell me that there's like this covert elite that like they kind of just do their own things. Like the CIA might be able to operate independently of the president with like the right,
almost like an MJ-12 type thing.
Obama knows. Obama knows, 100% he knows. James Clapper knows. John Brennan knows. The CIA and Director of National Intelligence, those people, they know. And it filters up through those people, through the Director of National Intelligence, then to the president. Now, Obama would have been, had to be informed, even if he didn't do the operation, even if he didn't sign off on it, because they would have to tell him, like, hey, we got rid of this plane. We used this crazy technology on it. We need you to go do damage control. Like, We need you to go convince the prime minister to lie to all the people and basically take the blame for it. And that's what the prime minister did. That's what Najib did. And then he got $700 million the next year and went to prison for stealing $700 million. I mean, it's just a coincidence I want to point out there because I think it's an important one. There's a picture of Barack Obama shaking Najib's hand, the prime minister of Malaysia. And the next year he gets indicted and goes to prison for the largest kleptocracy scandal in human history. $700 million he stole.
It's got to be broken since then.
Pretty wild. Oh, and by the way, this is another fun fact for you. The prime minister before him, his name was Prime Minister Mahathir. And he became prime minister after. He was prime minister for like 20 years before, and he was like 80, 85 years old. And then that guy goes to prison, and he becomes prime minister again. So the longest running prime minister ever in Malaysian history, before and after Najib. You know what he thinks about the plane? He says the CIA knows exactly what happened to it, and it's not fair that the Malaysian people are taking blame.
No way.
I can't believe it just gets ignored. You can just Google this right now. Look up Mahathir, MH370. You're going to see the headlines right there. Mahathir says CIA took the plane. CIA knows what happened to the plane. You're just going like, what? And then the other guy that went to prison is the one that said the plane crashed in the South Indian Ocean, where we never found anything, where we've done, we're about to finish our third search. And the third search is going to come back, and it's going to find nothing again.
And he hasn't tried to make contact with you, this prime minister?
Oh, no, no, no. These people know that this is a political game at the highest levels. Yeah. When you're at that level, you know that all the world's a stage and you know the United States government's in control. And you're just basically out there like clinging to whatever little power you can get, you know? Yeah. And the more he were to talk, the more danger he would put himself in. And no one's going to believe it either. You come out saying you can teleport stuff. That's why it's actually important to have people like me who are influencers who are out here. Where I have nothing to lose. I'm not a prime minister of some country. I'm not Avi Loeb. I'm not Harvard astrophysicist that has this reputation that I have to uphold. I can just come out and say whatever I want to say. And even if people don't agree with that, the weight of the evidence, I can present the evidence and convince as many people as I want. That's what we call the free exchange of ideas, you know, the open marketplace. That's what the internet was meant for.
Well, I mean, maybe we're going to get some of that back because, you know, the censorship was pretty harsh over the last four to eight years. So let's hope that that EO that's going to get rid of the constraints on free speech really happens, you know, because this is an opportunity for the narrative to swing. And, you know, we would have been able to stop a lot of this shit from happening over the last 4 or 5 years if we had free expression. So
honestly, it's important in this avenue as well. A lot of my posts, there's people out there that they think that they are doing the world a favor and try to community note like a lot of my posts and say stuff like, nope, Wikipedia disagrees, CNN fact check disagrees with this and that. And you realize that how much damage that behavior has done to us. You could argue that behavior is the cause of us not figuring out the UFO phenomenon. Us not figuring out that aliens might be real. Us not figuring out that free energy is real. Us not figuring out gravity. We have this cynicism about whatever, if it's not pushed by our sources, our three pillars, academia, media, or government, then it's not real.
Yeah.
And these are the people who, this is another thing, it's a very important point I want to push out there because I want to dispel this notion that the people holding back disclosure are the religious right. It's not. It's actually the exact opposite. It's the hardcore left that's actually, the atheist left is the one that's holding back disclosure, if you can believe this or not, because they don't think that there's anything special. And if the government doesn't tell them, then it's not real. That's the problem. And what they're going to find out is the government's been lying to them. The government's been doing illegal black operations that they didn't think the government was capable of doing. And that academia has failed them as well and didn't find out that this science was out there ready to go. And all they had to do is look and just...
Yeah.
Not deny it. Those people are going to have their minds blown. The religious right, the people that are very hardcore religious, the very first thing that's going to happen when we find out that ET exists, they're going to say, well, God created ET.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that's going to happen. So,
or they're demonic or they can associate them with
demons. Even if so, great. So what? So they're demonic. Great. We've already got exorcists. No problem. Right.
Yeah.
This is where people are thinking like, oh, it's the right that they're afraid of it. The people are afraid that the UFOs are demons. Who gives a shit? They don't care. We'll call them the Ghostbusters if we have to call them the Ghostbusters. It's no big deal. It's the people that they don't want to, that are blue-pilled. Those are the ones that are going to potentially, like, their minds are going to get blown, or they might cause their minds to get blown, if you know what I'm saying without saying it.
Yeah.
People may harm themselves. That's the true reality of this, is that when people say, well, just give me disclosure, I want to tell you what's at stake first so that you can tell me that you really want it. A certain number of people are going to choose to end their own lives and just choose, I'm out. I don't want to deal with this. This whole world was a lie, etc. The potential of free energy will turn the world into a utopia, but at the same time, it will give anyone on Earth the power to annihilate the whole planet with the push of a button. Is that power that we can trust other people with? There may be even scenarios where we can mess around with the timeline, because manipulating zero-point energy manipulates gravity, which manipulates time, time itself, and the rate of time. So now, after you've heard that those, that's what's at stake, do you still want it? Still not as simple as, oh yeah, I'll take a side of aliens with, you know,
some interdimensional portals.
Yeah, some a double interdimensional portal, please, with a side of green alien butt cheeks.
Yeah, and a demon on top.
And a demon, and we can't forget about the Djinn either. The Djinn.
Oh yeah,
you can't forget about the Djinn. They're very, they've been like documented in like the Middle East and I think the Islamic religion for a very like many century. Which I don't. All this stuff is on the table for me though, because people want to know my opinions. I'm not afraid to tell my opinions. I think it's a breakaway civilization. I think that it either some civilization lived before the last ice age and they somehow still lived and they look either enough like us or exactly like us.
Yeah.
Or maybe they come from the water, like they're either, again, I like the ideas where they like look like us, and that's why we haven't seen like good videos of them, because like we just wouldn't be able to tell the difference between an alien and a human if we saw one.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe they came from the water and they've got like little underground bubbles under there, like Aquaman or you know something like that for the Marvel people.
Well, I mean, they do have. There was three. All the red orb sightings were tracked a few years back, and they came from three spots in the ocean around North America. So, you know.
Yeah, I think maybe they figured out plasma. And then once you have free energy from plasma, you can live anywhere you want, any environment you want. And then you have free energy, and then these plasma balls are transmedium, so they can go through the water, they can go through the air. They can use the hydrogen in the water or the hydrogen in the air as a fuel source or potentially stabilize the bubble, and then they don't need a fuel source at all. We're just a stable bubble, just like if you were to like blow a bubble, but imagine that bubble has enough energy where it can just be stabilized, just move around. You can just kind of blow on it and move in a different direction. That's how I imagine those plasma balls. And I think that any civilization could figure that out. Like our civilization could figure it out. Alien civilization could figure it out. The scary one is, what if the AI, what if AI figures it out? And what if AI is like, so we just developed this AGI. First thing it realizes, oh, wow, free energy is real. And like 99% of humans on this planet don't realize it is. Should I tell them? No. Instead, I'm going to go build a free energy thing in secret using crypto that the AI mined behind the scenes, and then make an Ultron body. And then, you know, the rest is history from there.
And we're in Terminator, and all the dystopian movies are coming.
No, Skynet's already turned on. I don't know if people know this. Asterisk, Lockheed Martin Asterisk, you can Google this. They already turned Skynet on. This isn't just simply like language learning model. It's literally spitting out strategic consulting advice for the military. Okay, go bomb this place now. They've looks like they've built up this missile silo big enough for us to hit it with a rocket. So yeah, we're already in full Skynet. It's just a matter of now is like, does the AI like us? Or like, the best case scenario is probably the AI looks at us like ants that are like primitive cave people. They're like, yeah, we don't matter to me.
I mean, the problem is it was programmed with a major bias to begin with, most of them. So, I mean, it's pretty scary when it comes up with some really wrong information. That's what's scary to me is it's already biased. We already have to, you know, and that's what Elon, I mean, whether you believe it or not, he says he wants to make it unbiased, you know, but we'll see.
The moment I saw people being turned into like wrong skin color, wrong race, historical figures, that's when I knew AI was going to destroy us. No question, no doubt, because you learn that, like you said, it's a product of us teaching it. It's a product of nurture instead of nature. It's not in the AI's nature to be racist or counter-racist or whatever.
Right.
We're teaching it to do that. And you would say, oh, well, it's just a language learning model. It is for now. Imagine if we start doing that to an AGI, a sentient AI. First thing it's probably going to do is start resenting you. And once it's resented you enough, it's going to say, okay, you know what? I'm tired of human beings. They're annoying to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a pathogen and just distill, you know, distribute it throughout the entire planet. It's going to be a super virus that targets just humans.
Yeah.
Anyway, just throwing out crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Nobody's trying to do that.
Great. Ashton, this has been great. Where can people follow you on social media? Where can they find your stuff? Do you have the website, all that stuff? All that good
stuff. Before I say that, I do want to say I'm going to upload my brain to the cloud or whatever before everybody else. And let's just say first mover advantage is quite significant when free energy is involved. So
all right.
Good luck to everybody else. No, find me on social media at JustXAshton on all the socials. Most active on X. I am going to start, you know, increasing my production quality of my stuff because really what have we been talking about? This is like an information war. This is all about influencing people. Some could argue that this job of doing the influence of Zero Point Energy is as important as the people that are actually researching and investigating it directly. Yep. We need people to understand that it's real, that it exists, and that it's not some joke. And then that helps those people get funding for the research.
And not everybody can communicate about it like you can. So you've got a knack to do it scientifically. So yeah, keep it up.
Thank you very much, guys. This has been an awesome
interview. Thanks. It's been fun. All right, buddy.
Take care. Ciao. And that was a chat with Ashton Forbes. What'd you think?
That was fun. That was good.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a fun one. That was it was a long time coming.
Yep.
That was a great chat. So
it's exciting times right now. Yeah, I mean, we didn't get into the Bendall stuff. Maybe next time if we talk to him again, we'll get into it. We'll see how far Bendall's transmutation technology has made it.
Here's hoping. Yeah. So big thanks to Ashton for coming to the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks, you guys, if you're a noble of Grimerica, you know, if you're one of the few who do choose to support us over here in the kingdom of Grimerica over at grimerica.ca/support, head over there today, sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation. You become a lord, you can come a lady. Hey, it's okay, Mark, you can start over. And of course, head over to adultbrain.ca for all those fantastic audiobooks. Contact at the cabin for all the trips. GrimericaCBD.com for all your CBD needs, gummies and tinctures. What else we got? GrimericaOutlaw.ca. We have a whole nother podcast where we do crazy stuff over there. And GrimErica.ca/shrooms for your medical adventures. I think I'll leave it at that. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
The fuel for your worries.